Hello, hola, bonjour. Tune in every Tuesday to the Dear God Podcast.
¿Y qué pasó?
Nah, we talking like it's 1995. Let go of that Wi-Fi. Let's laugh and cry, but never say goodbye. Primos y primas, qué lo que, and welcome, bienvenidos to the Dear God, Are We There Yet? The podcast. Con tu prima favorita, soy Alicia Sanchez, and yes, this podcast is bilingual. Ahora, Dear God, in this context for my movement is whatever or whomever you want it to be. It could be the universe, religious God, Buddha, self, nature, lo que sea para ti. Dear God, Are We There Yet? Is a lifestyle community of question seekers. The goal is simple, to empower thought-provoking conversations, share happiness, and encourage each of us to never stop asking questions and having conversations that matter. All right, don't forget to check out the YouTube channel where I talk about self-growth, budgets and business, and passion to empower. Ahora vamos a hablar like it's 1995, y tengo una sorpresa para ustedes hoy. And I have a wonderful guest, Venus. Can you tell us, señorita, to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about you?
Hi, my name is Shaggy. I am an author. I am a writer. And I am just here this morning wanting to have a great discussion with Alicia today. I don't know what else.
Well, I'm excited to have you, and I want to know about your book. What is the name of your book so our listeners pueden comprarlo or so they can check it out?
Okay, perfect. So I have two books that are currently published right now. Both of them are self-published through KDP, which is Amazon, basically. The first book is Voices on the Air, and the second is Whispers of the Flesh. Both of them have to deal with my main character, Michaela Williams, and it's an urban fantasy, meaning it has to deal with a mystical creature and things like that. So she is your everyday woman living in San Diego, California. She is a Black woman, so there's a little extra layer of challenge for her. Mm-hmm. But she's moving really well in her career life and everything's going really well. And then things get shaken up a bit as she encounters their new CEO, who's very young and very mysterious. And he just happens to be a succubus. Well, he's an incubus, and she gets turned into a succubus, and it changes her entire life. So that's what my book is about. The first one, anyway, is just like an introduction into that. And then the second one goes into how she begins to learn how to navigate through that world, because it's totally different for her. But
amazing.
It's definitely fun.
I mean, you get to, like, what I like about, especially authors that write about fantasy and stuff, I mean, you have an imagination. I mean, it's beyond, because to write that, it's like you get to live double lives, no?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. A little bit. And I love it's a woman of color, right? So
yes,
it's a different experience as well. So, oh my God, I love that. So I want to talk about, there was something that, you know, I wanted to talk about today when I asked you, hey, what conversation should we talk about? And I want you to introduce the topic and why it's so important to talk about this and spread that to the world.
The topic for what I decided was really important to me, and I believe others as well, is how do you get through the roadblocks, like mental roadblocks, or navigate through negative thoughts? Because it happens so often, and mm-hmm. I think it happens to a lot of people, and sometimes you just feel really lost because you have no sense of, okay, what am I doing? Or you'll start to think that you know what you're doing, but you don't really mm-hmm. know. So mm-hmm. it's just kind of, it's hard to deal with something like that and just really trying to move your way through your life, especially if you, like I said, don't have much idea of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It can be very challenging, and it's really helpful to have some outside perspective on that. And just mm-hmm. to see how other people get through those things.
You know,
because
I love that. Yeah, I love, it's true what you said. It's so many people need to hear, so many people probably think the same thing, and they're probably telling themselves, like, yo no sé lo que estoy haciendo. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. What we think we know what we're supposed to be doing, what we want to do, we end up, it's not that what it is, or it doesn't come out to that outcome. But do you think, yeah, like, now that we're talking, do you think that we are just so afraid of, because we have this control thing as humans, like, all of us as humans, we want to control, like, how things go, and how even people that are, like, just, you know, just going by the fly, they would say, like, just do-do-do-do, like, even they, yeah, have some type of control. They want to have control. But do you think that control versus expectations is the reason why we feel this way, or the reason why we welcome these unknown paths, like, just feeling these unknown emotions? Like, I don't know, I'm just talking it through, but do you think that's what it is? Maybe we have so much control or we expect too much?
I think there is a level of expectation that is there, and that can be a hindrance for a lot of people, because you expect things to be a certain way, and most of the time, it's not going to be that way. Mm-hmm. You can plan for so many things. I know I definitely have, you have all these plans and ideas, and like you said as well, there is a level of control there that you think you, mm-hmm, have, and you only have so much, so that when something happens that's very unexpected, you kind of just sit there like you have pie on your face, and you're just kind of like, what do you now? How do I get, mm-hmm, out of this? Or how do I move through this? How do I turn this to my favor? It's very challenging, mm-hmm, but we also have to accept that not everything is in our control. And we, yeah, also have to learn how we can turn these things to our favor. Like, and you really, it's a lot of practice that goes into that, I believe. Mm-hmm. Just having to understand where you are in life, and also just being grateful and thankful for how far you've come, regardless, and then taking a look at, okay, this is just another challenge for me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's kind of like, okay, that I can overcome this. I talked about this in my other, I love that we're talking about this, because I in my other podcast, I mentioned about The Law of Divine Compensation by Maureen Williams. And I don't know if you've read the book, but she literally says, she uses the analogy of GPS. Like, you know, when you're in the car, y tú estás manejando, y tú estás, okay, yo voy a este sitio, I'm going to go to this place, and you put it in the GPS, and the GPS says, rerouting. You're like, conchole. You're like, oh my gosh, rerouting. All right, and then you get frustrated, and then you end up going on another route. One, you learn something new, whether it's longer or shorter. Two, you get to see this. Yeah, you get to explore different sceneries. Like, I don't know about you, like, the simplest things, when I get rerouted and I end up going, my wife and I were like, oh, they got this restaurant over here. Okay, now they got a mall over here. Like, we start to discover new things. Three, you never know who you end up meeting through that path, but we are so stuck in our ways sometimes that we have to do certain things one way or the highway. But this GPS rerouting was a perfect example, especially with the whole Dear God analogy, which you said, okay, we just have to take this in and go and make it work. But I mean, I'm not a therapist. I'm not a professional at any of this. Like, everybody knows on my podcast, I just talk like it's 1995 and I'm just talking to my homegirls, because these are things that we need to talk about as far as, like, what can we do? Or maybe what do you do that you could share with us? Like, when you get a challenge, when you're writing, because I know with me, writing is something that, I mean, I love to do it, but I've been very open about it, that English is my second language and grammar has always been my thing, where I know I can just go hire someone. But it is a challenge for me, because I'm 0 to 100 real quick. As you can see, my energy is like on, like, if I'm like on something, okay? But I'm not, it's just my natural energy. But that's how my brain is. And so I have to give myself little exercises of, like, my expectations and come down and be like, Alicia, that's bien. Don't worry. Like, it's going to be okay. So what do you do that you could share with us when you hit these mind roadblocks and these mind challenges? Like, what do you do as a person, as a writer, as an author? Like, what do you do to kind of help you come back to earth and be like, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. Like, what do you do that you can share?
What I do is I really, because for me, if I think about something that's negative or experience something that is that's really not happening for me, it's not going too well, I just take a step back and I kind of reevaluate. And I think of like, okay, so this happened. Let's think about how this happened or what may have happened or even like why. But I don't focus on it too long. I don't try to focus on negative thoughts, on my mental roadblocks, especially when it comes to writing, because obviously everybody goes through writer's block. Any writer that's writing anything will tell you, yes, this is very real. And a writer's block can last anyway from like anywhere from a day, a couple of days, longer. So what I do is like take a step back, really think about where I'm at, how I got there, and then where I go from there. I like to tell all the time, like even my family, like I'm a solution-based person. I don't like to think about issues too long. Okay, something happened, especially like finance or something like that. Like, whoa, what happened? What can we do to deal with it? Like, I like to confront the issue and then fix it. I don't like to dwell on things too long. Dwelling, for some reason, makes my anxiety just jump. So, and it makes me feel like really, really powerless. For me, I don't like to feel that way.
That's the optimism in you. That's your optimistic, where a pessimist might become and say, oh, well, you're not looking at it from an angle. And I'm like you. I'm just like, look, yo quiero la solución. I'm looking all about the solutions before I start crying and whining and doing all that stuff. Like, ain't nobody got time for that. Let's put a solution. But there's a lot of people that harp about it. And that's just, they want to stay in that emotion, but that's them. And which for people that are like us that are more optimistic and they call them, oh, you're too positive or you're too this or you're whatever. And it's like, just because you're positive or you're optimistic doesn't mean that you're not a realist. It just means that you choose to put that energy in there because you know there's always going to be a bad side. You know you can get lost. You know that, especially for, you know, finances, which finances is a big thing with budgets and people and their money. And if you start thinking about, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to pay this, or I don't know how my children are going to go to this, and you don't start thinking, using that energy to start looking for solutions like, oh, well, I can have a yard sale, or I can rent this, or I can... Like, if you don't start looking at those, then that's like wasted time and wasted energy. But people that are on the opposite side don't see it that way. And that's the part that will keep you in that roadblock. But I like how you say you just stop. Do you physically just stop what you're doing? Like, I want to picture this for my listeners. Like, do you just literally stop what you're doing and you go outside or you write it? Like, what do you physically do where you say you just stop and look at the situation?
Physically, I do stop. I do stop.
Okay.
Like, I have to. Even at my jobs, when there is something that's going on, I definitely stop and I tell my team, you know, I'm going to take a second. I tell anyone who's above me, I need a moment. I need to, you know, think about what I'm going to do from here, because this is something that we didn't expect. So I physically stop everything and I think. And I think about, okay, like I said, like this happened. What can we do to combat that? Mm-hmm. Let's turn this around. I'm all about turning things around. I'm definitely an optimistic. So if I can somehow work something to a positive instead of a negative, I will definitely do that. Like, okay, I see this challenge in front of me. We're just going to move through that. It's just how I operate. I'm sure plenty of other people do the same as well. You really do have to take a step back sometime and think about things before you try to move ahead with something else.
Or how about things that we cannot control? Because right now I've been having this thing where I've had to like tell myself, you know, I feel like I want to change the world, right? That's every day I feel like I want to change the world. But I feel like one conversation at a time, I can change the world, where we're getting conversations out, volunteering more, trying to get up my, you know, my nonprofit, all that stuff. But there's some things that just piss me off. Like, it's just, it gets me so angry where I have to tell myself, especially what's going on with immigration right now with ICE, you know, because I come from immigrant parents and I have this soft spot for children. And there's a lot of things that we cannot control, but there are things that we can do, you know? So yeah. What do you say, like, I mean, that when what you do or things that you can't control, like, I know that I can't go and knock on the door for ICE immigration and be like, y'all need to do this. I can't do that. But there are other things that I can do, right? So how do we do that from a positive point where to help us emotionally? Like, what do you do when it's things that you cannot control per se, like hands-on, but maybe you can do from a wider level? Like, maybe you could do it through your books. Maybe you know, from fantasy, when people read that, they get to escape from all the craziness in the world, you know? So
yeah.
what do you do when you can't control something?
If something's out of my control, I really just try to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you and many others, when something, like especially the immigration situation,
but you accept it, but you don't have
control.
Yeah, it is not in our control.
You can accept it, but there are things that you can do, like on a smaller level. Like, okay, I can't really, you know, physically stop these ICE people or, you know, warn certain people or anything like that. But what I can do is I can start doing something from the ground level. I can volunteer. I can, even something as small as sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Thing
mm-hmm.
that you come across, because everybody's on social media. I think that's another way to get some interaction involved, some movement made. Just starting from the ground level and seeing what you can do. How it pertains to that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when it comes to like in your life that are completely out of your control, it's just best to relook at it, realize it, accept it, because that's just a problem that's just going to be added on to what's not going on. What you want to do is you just want to face it head on. Okay, this is something that I can't do anything about. Let me see what I can do. It's not in my jurisdiction.
You're breaking up. Oh, it's okay. I can't get my listeners hear you. That's why. But it's okay. No, I can hear you now. But I like what you said, that you do what you can do, because someone told me once, like, you can't get overwhelmed over everything from such a global point of view, but you can start so small. Like, you know, if we have an issue where we don't have trees, you can't sit and harp about it. But if you plant a tree, you're already helping it. You know, it's just a stupid analogy, but I'm just giving it, well, it's not stupid, but it's simple. It's larger than that, you know, because there are things that we cannot have our hands in it, but there are things that we can do to help our peace of mind or help us add that good energy or help that connection or that support, or if it's to whatever we can do, even if it's time, because I always say that time is the most valuable thing. Money is not the most valuable. Yeah. We think it is because we feel like we can see it, but time is the most valuable thing. I really appreciate you being on my podcast. I have a fun question to ask. I always ask it on my guests. What would you say what your superpower is?
Oh, man, that is a tough one. Oh my gosh. My superpower is definitely, it would have to be my optimism.
Ooh.
Never being able to stay down too long. That's definitely one thing that I would say is my superpower. I work through situations and it always turns out. Always. It happens, you know, even with some meditating, some praying, all of that good stuff, no matter what. So it is my superpower, but it's a superpower that I get from just being and knowing and accepting what's within my power and what's not in my power.
Yep.
Yes, but that is my superpower, my optimism, and my willingness to never stay down too long.
I love that. Oh my God. Well, muchísima gracias. Thank you so much. Everyone on Oyendo en el podcast, I'm going to have the links to her books because I'm one that I love reading like about the world and self-help and nonprofits and all kinds of stuff. But I love a good like book that helps me escape. Sometimes it could just be a regular novel. It could be a fantasy. It could be a romance. So I'm going to actually put that because sometimes